Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Manjul, for inviting me. So with the endemic presence of HLB, rootstock has become more and more important in Florida. As we all know, rootstock has a lot of effects on the scion, although the exact mechanisms of are not clearly defined. So in the early years after HLB became endemic in Florida, we noticed that some of the seed source trees for some of the rootstocks looked exceptionally well and unaffected by HLB, even though they were positive for the pathogen. And next to those trees were a lot of Valencia trees that were clearly affected by the disease. And both US 897 and 942 are very popular varieties in Florida. They're both hybrids of Mandarin and Poncyrus trifoliata. And we conducted a series of greenhouse experiments to confirm that on these citrus rootstock seedling trees. And we really confirmed what we observed in the field. We can see on the right 897 and 942 clearly unaffected by HLB, contrary to Cleopatra, which is a mandarin, which is highly susceptible to the disease. And I may want to emphasize that Cleopatra is one of the parents in US 897. So clearly, Poncyrus trifoliata or trifoliate orange, there's something going on in there that makes the trees perform better when they are affected by HLB. So, however, a citrus tree is crafted. So what happens when we craft a tree? Well, we remove the upper part of the rootstock, and with it, we may actually remove a lot of the rootstock-specific leaf metabolites that may be responsible for making the seedling trees tolerant to the disease. Then we're replacing it with a susceptible scion, in this case, a Valencia. And then we're hoping whatever is left in the crafted tree of the rootstock will have enough impact on the crafted tree to make it more tolerant to HLB, which is transmitted into the scion after all. So we're doing a lot of metabolomic studies, and here you see two metabolites. I haven't specified them. And each box represents a different rootstock. So these are 11 different rootstock varieties, and these are root metabolites. And you can clearly see that indeed rootstocks have specific metabolites that are either higher or lower. And on the right, you can see a compound that is predominantly or exclusively only highly in high concentrations in Poncyrus trifoliata or anything that is trifoliate orange. And what we also found is when we look at crafted trees, at the leaf metabolites, we can also, I was happy to see that rootstock can indeed influence the scion metabolically. You can see that different rootstocks will have different concentrations in the leaves. So these are sweet orange leaves on the bottom. So clearly there is a rootstock effect biochemically. So, and what is even better, we did some greenhouse studies in which we found that rootstock can indeed also influence the scion response to HLB. Here you see again, we have the 11 rootstocks, minus indicates the control, and plus the infected plants. And here on the upper compound, we can see that the only trees on, these are the leaf metabolites, that only trees crafted on 897 and 942 respond with higher concentrations. And on the bottom, we see another metabolite that only responds predominantly in the mandarin trifoliate hybrids. So clearly something is going on. So we hear a lot of people talking about our tolerant rootstocks or even resistant rootstocks, but what does that really mean? We have seen in a lot of greenhouse experiments when we grow rootstock as seedlings, there is a clear tolerance. But when we, when we craft the tree, sometimes this tolerance is not as clearly evident. So when we look in the literature, some of the early studies, some of the early definitions always use the term endurance, or the plants endure severe disease without severe losses in yield or quality. And more recent definitions, here's one definition that I chose, define tolerance as the host's ability to reduce the effect of infection on its on its fitness, regardless of the level of a pathogen multiplication, in contrast to resistance, which is the host's ability to limit pathogen multiplication. So when we relate that to HLB, a tree resistance to HLB would be the ability of a tree to exclude sea lice populations. And tolerance we may define as the ability of a tree to grow well and be productive even when they are infected with sea lice. And for if we translate that to rootstock tolerance, so maybe I suggest to call it a rootstock tolerant to HOB when it has the ability to improve health and productivity in the crafted tree, but measured in relative to some other standard rootstock, but under the same conditions. And we need to remember, even if we have a rootstock that is highly tolerant to HLB, it doesn't do us any good if we plant the rootstock in a soil that is not conducive to its well-being. So these are all things that need to be considered. So we have a lot of field evaluations of different rootstocks going on. Here is one example of some large-scale field evaluations. It's over 80 acres of citrus, so it's a big undertaking. The trees were planted in October 2015 by the UF breeders, Dr. Jude Grosser, Fred Mitter, and Bill Castle. There are Valencia, so late orange, and Hamlin, early orange varieties, and there are 50 different rootstocks, although 30 are truly replicated. The other rootstocks are of great interest for the UF breeders for other reasons. So when we drive, these are on two locations to the trials. So we have in Highlands County, this is a location that is more the typical heavy flatwoods in Florida. It means the trees are bedded, so there's two rows to a bed, and they're separated by furrows. And then the other location is on the Central Florida Ridge, where we have well-drained sandy soils, and we don't need any beds or furrows. So this is a really nice trial. The trees are planted in 8 tree reps, as we can see here, and they're separated by a gap, which makes our life considerably easier when we go through the trial, figure out where we are. And so when we drive through the a trial, it's pretty amazing. What stands out is some of the vigor differences we see imparted by rootstock. Here's my student, Sudeep, who's working on this project. You can in one of the trials. These pictures were taken in July, just recently. And so we can see here's a rootstock which induces a small tree size. Here's one of medium tree size, and here's one of large tree size. And as you can see, we can grow citrus in Florida. The trees look really good right now. And so this tree is actually an X639, is a mandarin trifoliate hybrid. And really, when we drive through the trial without a map, we can pick out these trees because they look really, really good. So here are some data that were collected this year. On the left, we see the tree height in one of the trials. And you can see here on top, we have X639 and another a Spanish rootstock variety, FA5115. And you can see significantly larger than some of the other trees. And on the bottom here, we have one of the UF varieties, Shangsha Benton. It's a tetraploid, and it's a very small tree size. And then we have here, picked out C22, which is a rootstock from California. It is a dwarfing rootstock. And US897, that is our Florida dwarfing rootstock. But as you can see, this effect is not yet clearly visible. And usually 897 doesn't show its small tree vigor until several years later. So anyway, now we look at the yield and we see what happens here. Our best looking rootstocks are actually by far the lowest yielders, at least in the third year after they were planted. So the difference is pretty striking. And this is just for one trial, but it is consistent throughout the other trials. So X639 and FA5115 are our bottom yielders. For comparison, we have C22, a dwarfing rootstock, which is at the top yielding rootstock in this trial, followed by the other varieties that I just mentioned, 897 and Shangsha Benton, and this is one of our smallest tree size inducing rootstock. So that is pretty amazing, at least to me. So what it shows is that there are several small tree size inducing rootstocks are very productive, so have a very high yield efficiency. And this is very important for the growers because if you plant a highly yield-efficient rootstock, you get additional profit at no additional cost. And these highly yield-efficient rootstocks are especially suitable for high-density planting, which is something that the growers are pursuing more and more. So one of the problems with rootstock is right now there is such a high demand for some of the rootstocks, especially US 942. Swingle is still the number one propagated rootstock, but this is mainly because it's really easily available. And 942 is shortly after Swingle, but however, there are not enough seed sources available for 942. So pretty much most of our 942 propagated right now is propagated by T. tissue culture. So also, if we have some of the new varieties that are in the process of being released, we do not have any seed source trees, or some of the seeds are not polyembryonic, so we won't have any true-to-type seedlings, rootstock seedlings developing from them. So we can either propagate them by cutting or by tissue culture. Tissue culture is, even though it's popular in other fruit tree crops, it is of concern in Florida to some, especially for the higher cost. And some of the growers are worried that the different root architectures may make the tree less growing. So as you will know, if we propagate a plant by seed, we will have a typical taproot in most cases. And if we propagate them by cutting or tissue culture, we will have a typical adventitious root system where we have multiple roots originating from the whatever source material we use to start the cutting or the tissue culture. And we have done a lot of studies. I can't talk about all the data. I just want to point out that we have some commercial field trials going on right now. Again, one on the flatwoods side with a heavier soil and one in the central ridge. The trees were planted last year, so this is the pictures are taken shortly after planting. They look much bigger right now. And I just want to show some of the results here from the Polk County trial. After 1 year, we can see here on the bottom, we do not find any significant differences that are associated with the propagation method. And you can see here I have two tissue cultures. We have two different laboratories where we got the tissue culture aligners from. So no significant difference, but in contrast, we have clearly significant differences based on the rootstock variety that the trees are, in this case it's Valencia orange, crafted on. And this is consistent throughout the other trial. So tissue culture propagation is expected to become more and more relevant for providing growers with a large number of rootstocks that they desire. And it's also very important for the trend of higher density planting because tissue culture can provide many, many trees, even at a time of the year where sometimes the seeds may not germinate, and also trees are disease-free usually, and higher density planting can result in earlier profits during the early production years because the trees just right now under Florida endemic HLB conditions just do not become as old anymore. And finally, I want to thank all the funding that was provided by USDA NIFA, UF, IFAS, and also by CRDF. And I also want to acknowledge my awesome team without whom I couldn't do all this. Thank you.